Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Gittin, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, at the very top of the Amud, in the first half of the third Mishnah and the third Parak. Hamevi get ve'avad himenu. Let's say an agent was bringing a get and he lost the get. Mitzaola altar kasher. If he found it immediately, and at the end of our sugya we'll discuss what immediately means, then it is kasher and he can continue to bring it. V'imulav pasul. And if not, then it's pasul. Why would it be pasul? The only possible reason would be that there is a consideration that this may be a different get that has the same name on it, the same names on it, and that the one he had originally was lost, which means that if he presents it, it is a get that was not written at lishma for the particular woman who's getting it. Now, matzah b'chafisa u'b'dluskama, this turns out to be a separate clause, that if he found it in a bag or a satchel that he kept it in, imakiro, or if he recognizes it. It's not that he recognizes the satchel, that goes without saying, it has to be a satchel that he recognizes, but also if he recognizes the get, and it's not in a satchel, then even after time, kasher. I'm reading the Mishnah already in lines of the way the Gemara understands it. Now, Ruminhu, we have a challenge to our principle that a get which is misplaced and then found after time cannot be given. The Mishnah in Perak Aleph, Masachet Bava Metziah, Mishnah Zayin says, Matzah Gitei Nashim, if you found a get, v'shichrei avadim, a writ of emancipation, daitiki, which is a will, essentially, matanot, ashtar matana, shovarin, receipts, hareze lo yachzir, you cannot return it to the person who seems to be the intended recipient of the shtar. Why? Sha'ani omer, k'tuvin hayu v'nimlach alein sholitnan. Because the only concern I have is, this is the way the Mishnah seems to read, is that perhaps they were written, but then the person who wrote it decided not to give them. Somebody was thinking about giving a gift to someone, wrote out the star, changed his mind, and then it got lost. Now, the implication from that is, ha'amar tnu notnin. So obviously, if the dispatcher explicitly said give it, then we do give it. Va'afilu lizman merubet. Even after an extended period of time. So in other words, the only reason we're not giving this found get is because we don't have contact with the person who wrote the get, or who dispatched the shtar, and we don't know what his intent was. Perhaps he had changed his mind in the meantime. The implication is that if we knew that his intent was to give it, we would give it even if it was found after a time. So how do we reconcile that with our ruling? Amarabba lo kasha. Rabba solves it as follows. Our Mishnah must be referring to a location where there are lots of travelers, literally lots of caravans coming by. And since there are a lot of people coming back and forth, there is the possibility that the found shtar, or the found get, really belonged to someone else who was a traveler, and that's where they came from. Now, in the case of the Mishnah Bav Metziah, it's Makom She'ena Shayarot Metziot. It's a place where isn't a lot of travel going on, and therefore I can surely identify who the players are. My only concern is, did they really intend to complete the deal? V'afilu Makom She'asharot Metziot. And he adds another caveat in. Rabba adds another caveat in, which is even in a location where there's a lot of travel, V'hu shechzuku shnei Yosef ben Shimon v'irachat. That's only if we know that there are two people with the same name as the person on the shtar in this city. De'ilo temahachi, because if you don't argue that way, in other words, if you assume that anywhere where there are a lot of shayarot coming through, we would always assume that the shtar may be someone else's and not give it, even if we don't know that there's anyone else in town with that name, if you make that claim, then kasha de Rabba ad de Rabba, then Rabba stands in contradiction with himself. There was a shtar get that was found in Rav Huna's Beit Din. It was sitting there. The location was a town called Shvidi, or Shviri, which may be a play on the word Shairot, which is on the river Rachis. That's the location of the town. Rav Huna says we have to be concerned that there may be two towns of that name. So Rav Chista, the younger colleague of Rav Huna, said to Rabba, "Fuk v'ayin ba, go look into it. To the orta ba'i laminach Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to ask you about this at night." So nafak dak v'ashkach. Literally, he went out and looked. It's a euphemism. It's a colloquial phrase for saying he investigated it. And he found the following. Tan kol maaseh beitin harei zeh yachzir. In the next Mishnah of Mitzia, Perek Aleph Mishnah Chet, it says anything which is a maaseh beitin, as Machloket Rishonim, what that means, whether it means something only that happens as a proof as opposed to a shtar halva. But in any case, anything that is a maaseh beitin, you do return to the purported owner. And after all, the Beit Din of Rav Huna is a place where there's lots of people coming in and out, so it's like there's a lot of travel. And he said, nonetheless, you give the get to the person. Alright. So clearly, the only consideration was, are there two towns like this? So even though there were a lot of people coming in and out, and there was lots of travel there, and they found this shtar, they were ready to give the shtar to the, give the get to the woman who was the intended recipient, even though there's lots of travel, because they had clarified that there really were not two towns with that name, or in parallel, not two people with the same name. Okay, so, and in reality, Rabba himself acted as follows with a get, Ishtakach be kitna be pumbadita kishmate. It was found in a flax working area in Pumbadita. He ruled exactly like that ruling, which is that only when two conditions are met do we not give the get, and that is when it is an area where there's lots of travelers, and when we know two people that have the same set of names, in order to get both the husband and wife's name in that city, then we don't give the get. All right, and there's two versions of this. In other words, two versions, each version has one of the components missing. What he meant was the area where they soak the flax, which is not a well-traveled area. Even though we knew there were two people with the same name in that city, because there weren't a lot of travelers there. Some people had the opposite take. It means in a place where they sold flax, in other words, the marketplace where there were a lot of travelers. But it was a case where there weren't two people with the same name, and even though there were travelers, he still permitted the get to be given. Okay, so Rabbah identified the contradiction between our ruling and the ruling in the Mishnah Bava Metzia, reconciled it by noting that in a place where there's lots of travel going on, then we would indeed not return the shtar. But the Mishnah Bava Metzia is talking about a place where there isn't a lot of travel going on. And then he went further to say that even when there's a lot of travelers coming by, nonetheless, we do not return the, we do not withhold the shtar unless we know that there are two people with the same name, sort of parallel to the situation of having two cities with the same name, that our concern is that that is... who the shtar was intended for, somebody in that parallel town, that same town. Okay, now that was Rabbah. Rabbi Zeira, Rami Matnitin Abraita. So Rabbi Zeira identified the same problem, but he found it in, as a contradiction between our Mishnah and Abraita, not the Mishnah Bava Metzia. And that was Tnan Hamevi Get Vavadim Enum Tzolatar Kasher. That's our Mishnah, not Pasul. Or Minhi, what was the challenge? Matzai Get Isha Bashuk. If he found a get in the Shuk, Vizman Shabal Modeh Yachzir Laisha. If the husband admits that he gave the get, then you give it back to the woman. Ein Habal Modeh Lo Yachzir Lo Lazev Lo Lazev. If the husband does not admit that he gave the get, then you do not give it to either one of them. Now, what's the implication? Ha Vizman Shabal Modeh Miha Yachzir Laisha. So you see that when the husband admits that he gave the get, even that maybe after his man, we give it to the wife, and we're not concerned that it may be some other get. He came up with the same resolution that Rabba did, which is where there's a place where there's lots of travelers, you don't return the get unless it's immediate. When it's a place where there aren't a lot of travelers, then you can return it even after time. Now, Ika da Amri, and now in Rabbi Zeira, it's unclear what his limitations were. Perhaps his limitation was only if it's a place well traveled, and we know that there are other people, two people at least with the same name in the city, then you don't return it. Behind to Rabbah, in which case he agrees with Rabbah, he just got there differently. Or the other possibility is that Rabbi Zeira would say, in a place that's well-traveled, even if we don't know of anybody else in town with the same name, and we'll talk about that in a minute, then we don't return it. Upliga to Rabbi, in which case he disagrees with Rabbi. And if you think about it, that position is really seems to be the more reasonable one, because once we introduce travelers, then our concern is that it's one of the travelers that dropped the shtar, or one of the market people that dropped the shtar, in which case, whether or not there are two people in this town with the same name is really irrelevant. We're introducing the notion of outside players. In any case, those are the possibilities, which is that it is either in agreement with Rabbah, and only if we know of two people with the same name and it's a well-traveled area do we withhold the get, or as long as they're travelers, then we withhold the get, even if we don't know that. Now, Bishlamal de Rabbah lo Amar Rav Zeira, we understand why Rabbah did not approach the problem the same way Rav Zeira did. Matnitin alima le lakshriya, because he'd rather ask from one mishnah to another. Always preferable. Rav Zeira, my time alo Amar Karabah, but the question is, why wouldn't Rav Zeira want to follow Rabbah's lead and run the mishnayot against each other, and instead chose the Braita? So Amar Lacha, this is what Rav Zeira would say. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia does not say that if the fellow had said give it, then you give it even after time. All the Mishnah says is if you find it, you don't return it because the fellow may have changed his mind. But we don't know the other piece of the puzzle. In other words, you're making kind of a leap of inference. Maybe in the case in Bava Metzia, if we did know the guy wanted to give it, maybe we only give it immediately as we do in our Mishnah with the get. In other words, the Mishnah in Bava Metzia is addressing a different issue. It's not addressing the issue of identity, it's addressing the issue of an intent. In the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, we are asking the question, do we know that this shtar, we know who the shtar belongs to, do we know that this shtar really was meant to be completed? Or was it stopped halfway? Was the process stopped halfway? Our Mishnah says, we know exactly what was intended here, we just don't know if it's the right get. So Rabbi Zeira says, therefore, you really cannot pull one against the other because they're addressing different considerations. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I have a different solution to the problem, both Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira's problem, which is that in some places we see you return it immediately, in some places we don't. You don't need to go to frequently traveled areas or anything of that sort. He says, if the witnesses come forward and say, we never signed a get for Yosef and Shimon except for one, and we see their names on a get for Yosef and Shimon, then right away you know that's the right one. And therefore, our Mishnah must be talking about a case where the witnesses can't say such a thing. They say, yeah, we've signed several gittin for names like that, or we don't remember, or we can't find the witnesses, in which case we can't return it. So it's a simple solution. Now, ihachi my lemeimer, but if that's the case, then why would you think that you couldn't return the shtar, that you wouldn't return the get? So ma'udatem alechos domi dra mishma kishma ve'edim ke'edim kamash malan. I might think that by some strange happenstance, not only were the same names on the get, but also the same names of Edim, meaning there's another Chaim ben Moshe and another Moshe ben Chaim in the city who are Edim, and they signed the shtar. So these witnesses only signed one, but maybe other witnesses signed a different one, maybe a different shtar, Kamash Balan, that know that we do give it back. Havashi Amar, he has a different solution. We're going to see this a little bit later. Ravashi said, if the owner of the shtar says there is a hole right next to a particular letter in the shtar, and it identifies the shtar as having some unique blemish, if you will, tahavile siman muvhak. That is what we call a siman muvhak. So just one quick note about this. In the second parak in Bava Metzia, the first parak also, but mainly in the second parak, we deal with the issue of simanim. Simanim, which is sort of unique or identifying characteristics of an aveda, of a lost item. Now, there is a machloka, we're going to touch on this in a minute, about whether simanim d'oraita or d'rabanan. Is the fact that pointing to an identifying feature gives you a claim to ownership of it, is that a notion d'oraita d'rabanan? However, everyone will agree that a siman mufhak, a clear, unique, relatively remarkable kind of identifying feature, certainly is d'oraita. So therefore, having a hole next to a particular letter on the get, that's a siman muvhak. So v'davka b'tzarot plonit. So he said it has to be a hole next to a particular letter. Just a hole in the shtar is not good enough. Why? Because Ravashi masafkale simonim idoraiti drabanan. Ravashi is mesupak, is in doubt as to whether simonim or doraiti drabanan, and therefore he's not about to allow an eshet ish to be considered free and then marry someone else based on something that he's mesupak about, and therefore only if the fellow brings a siman mufak. Here's a story. Rabba Bar Bachai, so we now have three different resolutions to the problem, and two ways of expressing the problem. One way of expressing the problem is Rabba, who brought our Mishnah against the Mishnah Bav Metziah. We have Rabbi Zeira, who brought the Mishnah against the Braita, and the resolution, the consistent resolution between them was, if it's a well-traveled area, we're concerned that this may not be the original shtar. If it's not, then we feel it is the original shtar. Then there was the question about whether you have to have two people of the same name in the same town. Rabba says you do. Rabbi Zeira, we're not unclear whether or not he would say you would. And then we had Rabbi Yirmiyah giving a different resolution to the problem and saying it's simply if you have witnesses who testify that we've never signed a shtar of that sort except for one time, then you know that this is the one shtar. And Rav Ashi brings a different a variation on that, which is if the witnesses, or shall we say if the owner of the shtar, identifies the shtar with a very clear and unique identifying feature, which of course is accurate, then we say it is the original shtar. Okay. Now, here's a story. Rabba Bar Bachana, Irchas Legita Beit Midrash. Rabba Bar Bachana was an agent to bring a get, and he came to the Beit Midrash, and he lost it in the Beit Midrash. So Amar, so he got up and said, if so, you'd like me to identify it with a siman, I know a siman, something unique about it. If you want me to just identify it by eyeballing and saying, yeah, that's it, then, now, I didn't put this on the page, because you see the page is quite full, but tviut ayin, meaning the ability to eyeball something and saying, yes, I recognize it, is something that we accord to a tzurv merabanan, to a tamen chacham, a member of the Beit Din, who recognizes something, marzirin lo avedato b'tviut ayin. You return an aveda to him, we trust him, and if he says, yes, I recognize it, then we give it to him. So now, Rabbi Baruchana, being a Tamil Chacham, says that I can identify it, and also I can give you a siman. So, either way, I can, if somebody finds the star, I can get it back and continue my shlichut. Now, Hadru Aniyale, they ended up giving it back to him, But Rabbi Baruchan himself said, Le'adani mishum simana adrua. I don't know if they gave it back because of the siman. Evidently, he announced the siman. There's a hole over here, or it's a weird ink, or whatever. Kasavi simanim da'oraita. And evidently, this siman was not a siman mufak. But maybe it was written on a decorative piece, or it was written with a particular flourish, or something like that, which would be a regular siman. And we don't know whether or not they returned the shtar to him because of simanim, because they felt simanim d'oraita, which means that it would apply to everybody. Or if they returned it because he said, I recognize it. In which case, v'dafka tzuv merabonon, l'nishbal malo. In which case, this rule would only apply to a talmid chacham and not to everybody else. So there's a big difference about why they, it's an implication to identifying why they gave it to him, which is, if they gave it to him because of simonim, that means we hold simonim d'oraita, and we can return a get, even though it means it being mater eshedish la'alma, based on simonim. If, on the other hand, they gave it to him because of tziyot ayin, that's something that will not apply to all people. Okay, the Mishnah then said, v'imlav pasul, that if you found it after a time, then you can't give it, with all the different variations of the way we interpreted what the circumstance is, a place of lots of travelers, and more than one person in the same name in the city. Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Shalola Altar. So what is non-immediate? Rabbi Natan Omer, Sheshaha Kadesh Tavor Shera V'Tishre. If it was there, if it was lost long enough for a caravan to come through and sort of settle in and be there for the amount of time that it was there. Rishimar Elazar Omer, Kadesh He Adam Oveh Omeid V'Roe Shalo Avar Sham Adam. Long enough for someone to stand there and watch and see, I see nobody passed by. V'Yeshomim Shalo Shaha Adam Sham. Or long enough to see that nobody has really settled in and been there for a while. Rebbe Omer kedei lichtov et haget. Rebbe Yitzchak Omer kedei likroto. Achim Omer kedei lichtovo likroto. So the first three opinions all deal with the issue of shayarot, of how long it takes for someone to come through and be there. And this seems to support Rabban Rab Zeira's take that our Mishnah is talking about a case where there are frequent travelers, and therefore the concern is that it may have fallen from them. And so what is considered immediate? If you found it quicker than the amount of time it would take for a group to come in and sort of settle in, so that that could now be a new factor in our issues of probability. The last three opinions all flow to the issue of the get itself. Is it long enough to read a get, which seems to be just a siman malma, long enough to write a get, long enough to read a get, or much longer than that, long enough to both read and write, write and read a get. Okay, now, afilu shahab yesh bo simanim. This is what I mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, that even if it was a longer period and all of the other conditions were met, there were travelers and two people with the same name, but the get has simanim on it, mi'idim alav. The simanim attest to the get. The amri nekev yesh bo betzadot plonit, as we saw before in Ravashi's words, and Ravashi got it evidently from here, that if you could say, aha, there's a particular hole next to this particular letter, then that's good enough. You can't testify to the body of the text itself, but something external to it. Damri aruch v'gotz, if you say it's a long piece, it's a short document. Now, mitzao kashur b'chis b'arnekiu v'tabat, if you found it tied to a money pouch or to a ring, oshnim tza ben kelav, if it was found among your other vessels, afilu zman meruba kasher. Even after a long period, that's still kasher, because that's also a siman. Location can be a siman. Now, Itma Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Halacha Shalosh Ha'adam Sham. He says the halacha is that what's immediate, sooner than the amount of time it takes for someone to actually have stood there and kind of waited for a little while. Rav Rechana Mar Rav Yitzchak Mar Shmuel Halacha Shalo Avar Adam Sham. So machloket whether or not it is the position Shalosh Ha'adam Sham or even Shalo Avar Adam Sham, which is much, much less time, as long as it wasn't enough time for someone to pass through that area where you found it, then it's called immediate. That's not much time. Now, lemamar halacha kemar mar halacha kemar. Why do these amoraim state the particulars of the position? Why don't they just say halacha rav natan, etc., like the tanaim? The answer is mishum da afchilahu, because there were different versions of that bright of which tana said what, and in order to clarify, they didn't want to say halacha ka this tana, that tana, because it would be unclear what position they held, so they explicated the position. Okay, the last thing is that the Mishnah says, Mitzao b'chafisa b'dluskama, if you found it in a satchel or a bag, my chafisa, what's a chafisa? Ramachana, chemet ktana, a small pouch. My dluskama, what's that? Tlika desavi, it's a bag that old people carry. Okay, we will leave it at this point, and Mirtz Hashem, the next podcast, pick up and do the rest of Mishnah Gimel, which deals with, the introduces us to an issue which will take us to the end of the parak, which is the issue of chezkat chayim, a fascinating area of study in its own right. Everyone should have a wonderful day.